So the political stars may be aligned in Mexico with the election late last year of President Enrique Peña Nieto. The PRI is back in the driver's seat. That's the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which ruled Mexico for decades as essentially a one-party state. When it fell because of political missteps and corruption, so fell Mexico's reputation for political and economic stability. Now, with the return of the new PRI, will stability also come back? Charges of corruption and vote buying are already resurfacing. And over the past 5 years, warring drug cartels and government troops have escalated a conflict that has taken 45,000 Mexican lives, killed or disappeared. Will that violence begin to decline? Well, President Obama is in Mexico this week to express solidarity with President Nieto's decision to make economic growth, not fighting the drug cartels, the centerpiece of his presidency. And Monica Ortiz, senior field correspondent for Fronteras, joins us. She's been talking with business people and citizens in Mexico about the shift in the national agenda, how they feel about it. She joins us from KRWG in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So I gather what you are finding is a real yearning among people you're talking to in Mexico to get away from this confrontational mode with the drug cartels and really focus on economic growth.
Well, certainly there is mixed feelings about the shift in conversation from violence to the economy. There are those that feel it's high time that Mexico recognize that there are other issues going on in the country other than the drug violence, and that, in fact, the trade between the two countries is just booming. In the last 20 years since NAFTA was signed, the amount of trade between the two countries has quintupled by a factor of five. And so there's $1 billion of goods going across our border every day, more than $1 billion, in fact.
And in fact, it's taking advantage of this, recognizing this, that explains the mood of the people you spoke with. Here's one. Listen.
I think we are good partners in this industry. Both the American buyers and the Mexican sellers are in a good mood. We are making business in a good way.
Business people in a good mood. What business is that individual in?
So that is Manuel Montoya. He's a director of a business alliance of companies that are in the auto industry. So automotives in Mexico are king. He was talking about how 80% of the big rig trucks we see driving on U.S. highways are assembled in Mexico. And so he is one of the people that's eager to move beyond the violence and talk about strengthening economic ties.
But there is a real numerical question of jobs here. I mean, people are getting jobs as a result of this growth. Here's another example.
In 2004, we only had 2,000 employees in the IT sector. So in 2013, we already have more than 11,000.
Now, does the government believe that the IT sector is a real growth industry there? That man, Jesus Cantu, is with the Economic Development Agency in the state of Nuevo León.
Yes, certainly. So in these business alliances, there is participation from the government and from the universities in Monterrey. And so they all get together and strategize for how they can strengthen, whether it be the auto industry, the IT industry, the electronics industry. And so they have a goal of bettering the economy, making more opportunities for Mexicans. And the IT sector is one example. I mean, on the cover of Forbes magazine in Mexico right now is the photo of the CEO of one of the tech companies there called Softech. Her name is Blanca Treviño, and it's a whole profile about just how this company has grown and become so important globally.
Important for a couple of reasons. She's a woman on the cover of Forbes and in the IT sector, which is taking advantage of the fact that the immigration flow has started to reverse in some sectors, coming back into Mexico from the United States. Listen here.
In the case of our IT business, we're growing by 30%, the result of which is that the Mexican industrial sector will raise the standard of living and perhaps remove some of the temptations to go to the United States to look for something that exists here.
Do they really believe they can reverse those numbers on the border crossings?
Well, that's the hope, certainly. Whether or not that will happen, I guess, is yet to be seen. But certainly the IT sector, as I understand, offers job opportunities at all sorts of skill levels, from very highly technical skills to something like a call center, right, where someone who has spent time in the United States, like an immigrant that is able to speak English and knows the culture, can easily get a good-paying job and lead a fairly decent life in Mexico.
And of course, Monica, the backdrop of all this is the violence that continues, and we heard plenty of that as well.
Pues sobre la inseguridad.
Pues más que todo la inseguridad.
Pues de la inseguridad, no.
Security. That's what's the concern, even given all of this good news, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So those voices that we heard were in a gas station in a small town 4 hours outside of Monterrey in the neighboring state of Coahuila. When I went out and talked to folks and asked them, what do you want the two presidents to talk about? That was the answer, the insecurity. Violence continues every day in Mexico. I mean, just this weekend, I was reading about my family's hometown in the state of Chihuahua. There was a shooting at a sports arena. 3 people were killed and 2 were injured. And this is the sort of thing that is still in the headlines every day and that people are still concerned about.
So optimism, but definitely guarded optimism as President Nieto and President Obama sit down. Monica Ortiz, senior field correspondent for Fronteras, reporting from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.